Well, we are now going to start the third chapter in which we are going to discuss about the basic terminology used in the retail industry. So there are various terms which are very pertinent to this particular industry, which we need to have an understanding of. Some of them, of course, we have discussed, we've taken a cursory look at them, things like POS, things like ICT, things like the RFID and so on. So we shall discuss some more terms in better detail, so that whenever we discuss these terms in the forthcoming chapters, you will be aware of what their meanings or their connotation is. After going through this chapter, you will be able to understand the concept of RFID. Of course, you will be able to define and explain it. Also discuss and explain data mining, which is another important concept or terminology when it comes to the retail industry. Another important term which we have discussed in some of instances in the last couple of chapters is the business intelligence, and describe in detail enterprise resource planning or ERP. So these are the important you can say terms or components that we shall discuss in detail in this particular chapter. Well, let's take an introductory look at this chapter before we move ahead. The word retailing is explained here in this particular slide. That is the basics of retailing. So this particular word is of a French origin, all right? So it's not an English word. It's a loaned word from the French language. What it means is it's basically an action, that is a verb, that is a retailer, okay, which means to cut up, or probably in a simpler connotation, to make small units or pieces to be sold. So as we know, the other entity, okay, in selling is the wholesaler. So the retailer is different from the wholesaler and refers to one of the fundamental retailing activities, which is to buy in large quantities and sell in smaller quantities. For example, now these days, colleges are starting, schools are starting. So you will notice many people who sell textbooks or who sell notebooks to children. Okay, so in this particular case, what they do is they buy in a bulk quantity, they stock it at their particular shops, and they sell in smaller quantities. So let us say you are starting the second year in Wellinkers or first year in Wellinkers, and you want to buy certain notebooks in order to take notes, or in order to, in fact, if you are watching this session, if you want to take some notes on it. So in that case, you will buy not 100 or 200 books, which will not be monetarily feasible, as well as it won't be feasible in the right mind. So you will buy a couple of notebooks for the entire year, or three notebooks. So the retailer, what he or she will do is they will give you those two or three books and charge you the amount for that. So you will not be forced to buy in bulk, and the retailer also does not sell the things that he or she has bought in bulk. The term retailing applies not only to selling of tangible products, like, let us say, simplistic view, loaves of bread or pairs of socks or shoes, but also to selling of service products. So let us say if you are going to a particular restaurant, or so there they will offer you certain service. If you are taking a car for rental, so you won't take an entire fleet of cars, you will just take one car which is for your comfort. So these are not just intangible, sorry, tangible goods. These are also intangible services that are offered. So there is a wide range of services which are offered in this particular manner. Companies who provide meals, haircuts, and aromatherapy sessions are all essentially retailers. Like in the last slide, we saw companies that provided, you can say, restaurant services, catering services, or car rentals. So A further addition to this is the haircuts and aromatherapy and many more, in fact, as they sell to the final consumer. And yet, customers do not take goods away from these retailers in a carrier bag. So, this is the important element. The consumption of service offering coincides with the retailing activity itself. So, retailing is synonymous not just with the sale of products which you can take in a carrier bag, but also intangible services which you can avail of from the vast multitude of people who offer such retailing services. Let us now start with the first term that we are going to discuss. That's the point of sale. In fact, if you've noticed in the past few chapters, we've discussed this point of sale concept. It's nothing but the physical location of a transaction, but usually refers to any device or system that is used to record the transaction for the retailer. So, like retail concept, it has multiple meanings or connotations. Sometimes used to classify all of these together, that is, all components which come under the POS, which jointly form the industry related to point of sale. So it can be the cash machines, it can be the kind of software used for those machines, it can be the peripherals, it can be the person who's manning the machine, it can be the point where it is placed in a retail store, and so on. So if you've visited a big large malls like you can say Big Bazaar or D-Mart, these places prominently have these particular points wherein you will be billed for whatever you buy. So it's nothing but accepting your cash in lieu of the products that you've bought from the store. Example, the grocery store checkout register or the retail checkout counter. POS systems will refer to the newer class of computer based POS systems. So if you are saying a POS system, it specifically means the newer class of systems. In fact, some of those we'll discuss in the forthcoming slides. The term cash register, which refers to the traditional mechanical or electronic cash register that is not based on a computer. So at this point, we differentiate between a cash register and a POS system. Let's look at some of the benefits of the POS system. While cash registers are improving, they are still being outpaced by the rapid development of point of sale systems. In the next slide, we will discuss a few benefits of POS over mechanical cash registers. So here in a tabular manner, we can see the features or compare the features which are present in the POS system versus those in cash registers. So simply read out what is available for the POS system. So if you notice, all the features which are enlisted in the table are available in a POS system, but most of these are not available in a cash register. These include the inventory control. So any aspect, that is any you can say software functionality or application related to inventory control, is not available in cash registers because they are not computerized. They are manual you can say registers. Invoicing and receiving, interfacing with accounting, reports, enforced accuracy, integrated CC handling, general ledger, accounts payable, accounts receivable, and pro-offered by tax consultants. So all the features which are advanced features related to transaction of cash and maintenance of accounts are not available in the cash registers. They are available only in the POS systems. Computer-based POS systems consist of the following aspects. They basically have a computer platform, a variety of special peripheral devices, and a POS software application which ties it all together. Now let us look at the individual components which we have just mentioned. Software controls the behavior of any POS. The software can be divided into four categories. The operating system, which has the actual logic of how the system will function. The main or specific application software of POS, which provides the POS with the interface as well as the logic and probably a connection to a database. The credit card authorization software, wherein your credit card is authorized, wherein nowadays you have to punch in your number, your secret PIN. So that is authorized by the software. And the accounting software. So the accounting software probably will have details like debits, credits on a broader level in the system. Also, the next important component is the POS hardware. This consists of the computer, the display, and the cash drawer. Now let's take a look at the operating system that a POS system has or a software has in greater detail. So in the POS environment, Microsoft Windows is one of the many players. In 2001, Microsoft dominated the POS terminal shipments with a good amount, that is 69% of market, with Windows, IIT or 2000 or XP, which had 46%, and Windows 9X or CE, which had a share of 23%. IBM's 4690 is strong, particularly in mass merchants and supercenter or warehouse clubs, where it garnered 80% of all shipments. Linux represented 2% of the shipments. So in case if the retail business is a small one, then there is a largest selection. So the variety or assortment is more for small businesses. Okay, so there you'll find the largest selection of POS applications if you stay within the Windows or DOS environment. So there are lots of applications developed by Microsoft towards this particular cause. Now we look at the POS application software. We've already discussed the operating system. Now let's discuss the application software. This particular software adds the retail functionality to the POS system. So it's more specifically got the retail, you know, functionality or specifics in it. It provides the user interface and all the features that you'll use during the operation of your business. Like I mentioned in the previous, you know, in a previous slide, that it's got the GUI or the front end wherein people will input information. Okay, so that is a prime functionality of this particular software application. Now we come to the next component, which is the credit card authorization or the credit card processing software. Most retail businesses accept credit cards as payment for purchases. You may currently use a retail payment terminal with a card swipe to verify credit authorization. So many of us have actually seen this particular mechanism. In fact, if you shop at certain large malls, especially let us say for grocery, if you're going to a Big Bazaar outlet, you will see that the screen itself has a swiping mechanism where the card is swiped. POS systems often implement this feature with software using a simple magstripe reader. Magstripe reader is nothing but the magnetic stripe reader as a computer peripheral. That's what I was talking about. Integrating the credit card payment function can save steps and time during the checkout process. So it's very important to have such a software or system integrated with the rest of the POS system. You will have three options for credit card authorization: a POS software package with integrated credit card authorization, an add-on credit card authorization software application, and you can continue to use the card payment terminal. The next software application is the accounting. This is a paper tape receipt printed out by the register. At the end of the day, it is used to transfer the day's transaction information to your accounting software or your ledger book. There are many accounting software packages on the market, many targeted towards small to medium-sized businesses. Well, let's look at the three popular ones in this particular area. The first being Peachtree accounting software. Microsoft has a famous software which is the Microsoft Great Plains accounting, and another software application which is the QuickBooks accounting. The Intuit QuickBooks accounting software product is probably the leading retail accounting package for small businesses around the globe. Many, if not most, POS packages offer QuickBooks data exchange functionality, which keeps your retail transaction data and your accounting data synchronized. So it is extremely important to have customized applications in the context of accounting, and Intuit and other accounting software applications provide this with a great deal of flexibility. The next part is the POS hardware. The first component is the computer. So POS systems are based on standard desktop computing technology. In fact, if you've been to many of the malls, you will see that there is a PC which has got a screen, a processing unit, and the other important components. There are, however, manufacturers or integrators who specialize in producing computers specifically designed for the rigors of day-to-day retail operation by average retail workers. So these computers might have more specialization, they might have more, you can say, hardware as well as software capabilities. The material used in this context might also be specific to the rigors of retail operations. The next element is that of the display. So, as we understand, in a brick and mortar retail store, the countertop space is always precious. So you need to actually plan the right layout for the retail operations. In this context, you will want to minimize the footprint of your POS system. In this context, flat panel monitors are ideal for POS applications. They use far less power, generate far less heat, and don't rob counter space, better left to the product displays. So important aspect in retail is not the billing, but more of the displaying, that is to sell. So billing is a kind of an administrative activity which is not revenue generated. So the space allotted for such an activity needs to be smaller than the actual revenue generated activities. The next piece of hardware is the cache drawer. A cache drawer is the main peripheral in any POS system. This cache drawer opens when you ring up a sale, just like a cash register drawer. You can get locking cache drawers, plastic inserts to separate the bills and coins, plus a slot to stuff the credit card slips. There are nominally two types of cache drawers, which are cache drawers that connect to your receipt printer. Okay, so those are of course logically known as a receipt printer driven. So this first type connects to a special connector on your receipt printer. The receipt printer behaves much like any other computer printer. When you print a receipt, a signal is passed to the printer to the cache drawer to open it. The next type is the cache drawers that connect directly to your computers, known as the direct connect. This type connects directly to your computer either via an RS232 serial port, the parallel port, or a USB port. The POS software sends a special code which opens the drawer. Let us now take a look at the next particular term, which is the decision support systems, or popularly known as the DSS. A DSS, or a decision support system, is a computer-based information system that supports business or organizational decision making. So as we know, in today's world, there are different organizations which have different dynamics related to business, and each organization needs to make the right set of decisions. So retail is no exception. In retail, there are a huge or a multitude of decisions that need to be taken. Various areas like management, inventory control, procurement, logistics, supply chain management, customer information gathering, and so on need to be based on the right decisions. So the DSS, or the decision support systems, serve the management, the operations, and the planning levels of an organization, and help to make decisions which may be rapidly changing and not easily specified in advance. They also include knowledge-based systems. So knowledge-based systems in retail have the repositories of information which can be connected to the DSSs, on which or on basis of which the decisions can be taken for these particular systems. A properly designed DSS, or a decision support system, is an interactive software based system intended to help decision makers compile useful information from a combination of raw data, documents, personal knowledge, or business models to identify and solve problems and make the required decisions. Now let us take a look at the typical information that a decision support application might gather and present. This includes inventories of information assets, including legacy and relational data sources, cubes, data warehouses, and data marts. So this is nothing but, you can say, the kind of information that is received on a daily basis about the customers, about the kind of preferences that they have, all, you know, grouped together in the form of data sources, in the form of other algorithms like cubes, data warehouses, and data marts. Comparative sales figures between one period and the next. So probably quarter on quarter sales calculations, sales dashboards, reports. Projected revenue figures based on product sales assumptions. So all these important elements which prompt decision makers to take the correct decision are displayed or are articulated in this particular type of system. Let us now look at the taxonomy or the kind of connotation or meaning that decision support systems have. So there are various types or categories, that's why we've called it taxonomy. So the first is a passive decision support system. As the name goes, we understand that passive means that it is not, you can say, having a lot of business logic or intelligence. This is a system that actually helps the process of decision making, but that cannot bring out explicit decision suggestions or solutions. So it is a support kind of a mechanism. On its own, it cannot actually yield decisions or generate the decisions. So as I said, there's not a lot of business logic associated. It is a limited amount of business logic. The next in this category is an active decision support system, which can bring out such decision suggestions or solutions which are active in nature, which do not, you know, which are standalone, which are not just support, but importantly, they can generate the essential decisions. The next being a cooperative decision support system, which allows the decision maker to modify, complete, or refine the decision suggestions provided by the system before sending them back to the system for validation. So a user can basically manipulate the kind of inputs which are provided to them by this particular decision support system. So this is the most dynamic type of decision support system. The next is a communication driven decision support system, which basically supports more than one person working on a shared task. Examples include integrated tools like Microsoft's NetMeeting or Groove. So many of us might have seen NetMeeting. It's quite common in a lot of organizations, in a lot of you can say academics. Like we have certain virtual sessions here in Wellinkers, which uses something which is akin or alike this particular software, which is used for remote conferencing purposes. So similar thing is used here. The next type is a data-driven DSS or a data-oriented DSS. Now this kind of a decision support system emphasizes access to and manipulation of a time series of internal company data and sometimes external data. A document-driven DSS manages, retrieves, and manipulates unstructured information in a variety of electronic formats.